Today is the second Sunday in Lent, and we have a few announcements. We are, first of all, glad that you could all come this Sunday because of the bad weather last Sunday. Many of you were not able to come, and we may make mention a few of the points that our Father Superior told the people, if we have time for that, because he gave a beautiful sermon about how to prepare for Lent. The announcements are that there will be no benediction this evening, and there will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. Tomorrow, the Mass, as you know, is at 8:30, followed by the cleaning of the chapel and the hall. Thursday is the Thursday before the first Friday of the month, so we will have the Holy Hour and Benediction of the Sacrament from 7 to 8 p.m. this Thursday. And then the first Friday Mass will be at 8:30, followed by the Conference and the Rosary. And then this is the first Saturday of the month, this coming Saturday, and you've already heard about the devotion to attend Mass if possible that day in honor of the Blessed Virgin. So the Mass as usual will be at 8:30, and then we will have our catechism classes after the Mass. And just as a remark about confessions, as you know, we have this Friday evening Stations of the Cross. And so that will be, as many of you came this last Friday, it's from 7 to 8 p.m. And we have confessions not only before the Sunday Mass, but after Stations of Benediction, before and after catechism classes, Saturday evening, and then again next Sunday before Mass. So we make it as available as possible for all of you so you that may receive the sacrament of penance as often as you wish. And that is a reminder that it's a very salutary work practice, especially during Lent. For Saturday mornings when we have catechism, just as a reminder, we hear confessions for about 15 minutes right after the Mass to the catechism classes. So we want to reserve that time for the parents and children, or rather the adults who do not go to the catechism classes. So any parents or children who want to go to a confession, if you could wait till after the classes since you're here anyway, and the people who do not participate in the classes can go to confession right after the Mass. The ushers will distribute the collection envelopes for the next 3 months after Holy Communion. And once again, as you know, next Saturday night, just as a reminder, we have the change back to daylight saving time. So to remember to move your clocks forward 1 hour. If you forget, then you will not be on time for Mass. You know how that all works. And it, for me, as I get older, it takes longer and longer to adjust to this time change. I prefer just having one time the way it's supposed to be, but that's the way it is. Now, before we speak about the Epistle and Gospel and give you the first read those, but we want to give an announcement about an event or a phone call that we received this week. And it's going to take a few minutes, but it is a very moving story about fellow Catholics in another part of the world. So this happened just on Friday. This man, Romi Shamor, he's from Ankawa, Iraq. Now, he called us in the middle of the day this Friday. For him, it was in the middle of the night. And he was calling us in fear of his life, secretly, clandestinely. He happened to see our website on the internet, and this city, Ankawa, in northeast section of Iraq, is just south of Kurdistan. Now, he is a Chaldean Catholic, and maybe some of you remember 35, 40 years ago, we had a priest from Iraq, Father Jadan, who was very gracious enough to assist the Catholics here in Colorado Springs, the traditional Catholics, so that they could have the Mass and sacraments. And I was a layman at the time. I was in high school when he came here for about a year or two. He was coming, visiting here, and then he actually moved here for a while. He lived in Detroit for a while because there's a fairly large Chaldean Catholic community of Catholics in Detroit. And he was actually heroic because he said the Mass in his own right. And he hardly knew any English, but he learned the Latin Rite just for the Catholics here so that they could have the Mass and sacraments. But anyway, this man, Rami Shamor, he wanted to be sure when he called us that he was speaking to a priest. He's, after he confirmed that, because he was unsure who he was talking to, he is 33 years old, married but no children, and he works at a bank there. He was not calling for material help or money. He said his parents and brothers and sisters are safer now, but he called to give the following message and plea to us, servants of Holy Family, and then to all of you. He first asked, "Do you know what is happening to us? ISIS wants to kill us. Please tell your people that we are still alive and that it is a danger to believe in Jesus. I know that Sunday is coming, so would you please ask your people on Sunday to pray for us?" "We will stay with Jesus, but they want to kill us. We know that Jesus will forgive." And then he was explaining that the Kurds who were nearby said some of the Kurds were kind to them. However, some of the Kurds have gone to the other side and joined ISIS. But he repeated several times that the ISIS wants to kill them because they are Christians, they are Catholics. So he wanted us to know that they are being persecuted. Now, we are not enduring any type of suffering or persecution like these heroic Catholics who have for centuries been persecuted, hounded down, put to death for their Catholic faith. Hundreds of thousands of them over the centuries by the Muslims. So it's still happening today. But we encouraged him to remain faithful, that we would pray for him and his family and friends, and we told them that we would ask you to pray. So if you all remember to pray for these Chaldean Catholics. We told them that we see them like the early martyrs of the church and we admire them for their fidelity. And we told him it was a privilege to speak to him and to know such people. You know, he said he was very grateful and he was happy to know that he could contact us anytime in the future if he wants. So we wanted you to know this this beautiful story of heroism and how Catholics are dying for their faith today. Maybe we'll be called to that in the near future. Who knows? But we can be assured that those people there will pray for you too, that you remain faithful to Christ. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Brethren, even as you have learned from us how you ought to walk and to please God, as indeed you are walking, we beseech and exhort you in the Lord Jesus to make even greater progress. For you know what precepts I have given to you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from immorality, that every one of you learn how to possess his vessel in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress or overreach his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all these things, as we have told you before and have testified. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 to 9. At that time, Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves and was transfigured before them. And his face shone as the sun, and his garments became white as snow. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elias talking together with him. Then Peter addressed Jesus, saying, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us set up three tents here, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. And as he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And on hearing it, the disciples fell on their faces and were exceedingly afraid. And Jesus came near and touched them and said to them, Arise and do not be afraid. But lifting up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus cautioned them, saying, Tell the vision to no one till the Son of Man has risen from the dead. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We want to make part of the sermon the very great saints that are commemorated during Lent. As you know, that no third-class feast is allowed to be celebrated, but they are commemorated. And there's St. Casimir, another great Polish saint, on Wednesday. Friday, Saints Perpetua and Felicity, early martyrs of around the year 200. But we want to speak a little bit about St. Thomas Aquinas, because his feast is this Saturday, and he is such a huge figure in the history of the Church and in the history of mankind. Many years ago, when I offered a Mass around this time of the year, I spoke about it, but it's been quite a few years, about his life. He was born in the year 1225 in this city in Italy, Aquino. And he was the youngest of four sons, and he had several sisters. One of his sisters was killed by lightning, so he is invoked against the dangers of thunderstorms, and sudden death. He attended the University of Naples, and at 19 he became a member of the Dominican Order, the Order of Preachers. But something happened. He's a member of the Dominicans. His mother wanted him to be a Benedictine. Now, this just is the way things are. The human reality of people, friends, children, parents, trying to interfere with people's life or vocation. And they're an adult already. So she came up with this plan to get her sons, her other sons, to kidnap Thomas, St. Thomas. And that's exactly what they did. And they put him in a prison for 2 years. Talk about a dysfunctional family. He was, as you probably know, a very large man, but he was very reserved. Eventually he was released from this prison, but this, as you may know the story, they wanted, the mother and the brothers, wanted him so much to leave the Dominicans that in this, you can say prison, but it was a place where St. Thomas was living, but not allowed to leave, they brought in a prostitute to tempt him. And it's a beautiful work of art that shows what happened, because St. Thomas was known for his great purity. And in the fireplace, he took a piece of wood that was still burning, and he chased the woman out of the room, and two angels appeared to console him because he was so disturbed by this. And that work of art shows him being comforted by these angels, probably guardian angels, because he was protected by God in a special way. And it shows the evil woman running out the door, looking back at what happened. Well, he wrote unbelievable amount of information of doctrine. Not new doctrine, but explaining what we have from Jesus Christ as he gave it to the apostles. And he relied on especially two great holy men, none other than St. Paul the Apostle and St. Augustine. He wrote 20 volumes of work. The Summa Theologica, the Contra Gentiles, he wrote the Pangilingua, the Tantum Ergo, the Adorate Devote, the Laudo Sion, the Verbum Superinum. These are all hymns that we sing at benediction or different times of the year. But he, more than anyone, knew that knowledge, even knowledge of God and these holy doctrines, is nothing without humility, prayer, and obedience. Obedience to God and to his superiors. Look at a father, he's called a father of the church, a brilliant man, Tertullian, in the second century. And he ended up dying as a heretic. Now, we don't know if at the last moments he converted, but he is, because of his writings, still cited for centuries by Catholic theologians and the church, but he died apparently as a heretic. So, knowledge of doctrine in the catechism is important, but if it's used by a proud or arrogant person is going to lead to destruction. So we just tell those brief points about this great saint, St. Thomas, feast on March 7th. And he's an example for us, especially during Lent, to imitate his virtues of humility and obedience, and also, frankly, to just read the catechism. Spiritual reading, reading of doctrine, is so important. And as I mentioned maybe a few years ago, there are spiritual authors who say that spiritual reading is even more important than mental prayer. You know why they say that? It is because the reading about God, about the spiritual life, prepares you to pray. Often we are so distracted or consumed with our own affairs or worldly things or distractions that we don't know what to pray about. So the spiritual reading assists us. Now today's epistle of St. Paul to the Thessalonians, he's being very direct. He's talking about the sixth commandment. He's telling him, do not commit adultery. Do not commit fornication. Do not commit sins of impurity. God created us, our bodies and our souls, for heaven. And he made the laws. We have to follow them. And our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. And as we were explaining to our catechumens that we're teaching up in Boulder by Skype, we said that when we are in the state of grace, the Holy Trinity dwells in us. They never heard this before. That this God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost are in our souls when we have sanctifying grace. So sanctifying grace is created grace, and the indwelling of the Holy Trinity, as you've heard before, is called sometimes uncreated grace, meaning God himself. So this is an injunction by the Holy Ghost speaking through St. Paul, not only to control the passion of lust in us, which is a result of original sin, but he says, do not transgress or overreach your brother in the matter. Because God is the avenger of all things. That is probably one of the number one points or themes of Lent. Because we have God who is our judge the moment we die, at our particular judgment. In this world, in our lives, we have the beautiful privilege of God's mercy extended to us, even when we fall or fall seriously. He extends mercy even to his enemies. Look what he did when he was on trial. The Jewish leaders, the Roman soldiers, telling lies about him, ridiculing him, spitting on him, pulling out his hair, beating him, whipping him. What a terrible, terrible thing. And he did these things. He allowed himself to be treated in that way to make up for our sins, so we wouldn't have to do that. We wouldn't have to be so tortured. And because he's the Son of God, he made up for all the sins of all men, for all men, all history, all time. The billions of sins. He also, St. Paul says, that we are not called to uncleanness, but holiness in Christ Jesus our Lord. So our holiness comes from His church He founded, from the Mass and sacraments, from turning away from evil in the world. Holiness can only come through the Catholic Church. As you know, it's one of the marks of the Catholic Church. One, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. So a person cannot become holy by being a Lutheran, or a Baptist, or Muslim, or Hindu, or any other religion, because those are religions founded by men with, frankly, the cooperation of the evil spirits. Because they're taking them away from Christ, who's the only way to heaven. Our Lord Himself says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So finally, we will speak briefly about the gospel of this Mass. Now, August 6th is the Feast of the Transfiguration of our Lord. And that feast emphasizes the glory of Christ and His showing to the apostles, these special three, St. Peter, St. John, and St. James, of what His true appearance was like. And basically it was to show them that He was God, and not to be scandalized or to be afraid or to forget when our Lord was on trial and put to death of who He really was. So they climb this mountain called Tabor. And they fall asleep. And they look up, because it was a fairly long climb up this mountain, and it was dark by then. And they look up and they see this unbelievable light, blinding. As it says, sikut nix, it means just like snow. Like we have outside, you go out with the sun, it's blinding. And that's how bright it was. And they saw our Lord, and He saw Moses and Elias talking to each other, talking to our Lord. The great lawgiver, Moses, and the great prophet, Elias. And it was showing that to these three men, that with our Lord, a new law, fulfilling the old law, was about to begin. And St. Peter, who was the chief apostle, but also more gregarious and outspoken, he said, let us set up a tent for you to live in or to be sheltered on this mountain. One for you, our Lord, and then one for Moses and one for Elias. And then suddenly what happened was that they heard a voice from heaven. God the Father was speaking to them just as He did to St. John the Baptist a short time earlier. They hear the voice, this is My beloved Son. Hear Him. In other words, obey what Jesus says. They were commanded by God to do it. And then the mountain is enclosed in a cloud, which symbolizes, is the Holy Spirit appearing in that way. So it's the Holy Trinity with these three men. Obviously, it was a very frightening experience for them to hear this and to witness this. They were just exceedingly afraid. And they just were flat on their faces on this top of this mountain. And what does it remind us of? To be afraid of God, His judgments. We have to fear God. In fact, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is fear of the Lord. The reason I'm mentioning that is because Most people aren't afraid of God or judgment. But fear includes not being afraid as a servant before a master that he's just going to be punished, but it's one a fear of reverence for God and his law. And then they are so afraid, then they look up after a few moments and all they see, everything's over, the apparition's over, and our Lord is back to appearing as a normal man, and he tells them not to be afraid. And that's what we tell you. That's what the church is telling us. Do not be afraid of the world. Yes, be afraid of God's judgments, but don't be afraid of falling into hell or the devil, because Jesus will help us. And it says he touched them and lifted them up. What a beautiful scene. And that's what our Lord does to us, especially when we receive the sacrament of penance. Go to confession, tell our sins to the priest, show that we're sorry, and that we're going to do the very best we can to not do those bad things again. And then the priest, he gives us the absolution. We know our sins are all taken away. And what does the priest tell you afterwards? He whispers, go in peace, and God bless you. And the penitent says, thank you, Father. And you say, thank you, God. Thank you for another opportunity to go to the sacrament of penance that's denied to so many people who don't even know about it or ridicule it. And then finally, it prepares us to be touched by God as these apostles were. Because when we receive Holy Communion, we not only are touched by God, we receive Him in our souls, in our bodies. Makes us even more holy. Every Holy Communion is to make us closer to God, one step closer to heaven. That's what the Holy Eucharist does for us. So these are the points, the reflections I wanted you to know for today on the second Sunday of Lent. May God bless you.